Hello, I'm Mike Salem. With your prayers and support, Christian Worship Hour is thrilled to continue broadcasting my dad, Pastor Salem's messages proclaiming the Word of God. We hope you will invite your friends and family to join us in worship. We appreciate your letters and notes to us. From Minnesota, we are grateful to continue to receive the wonderful Word of God from Pastor, who is now safely in the arms of our Lord. His preaching is still reassuring to us. Our check of support is important for the work CWH continues to do to ensure the message travels out to the world. We love all of you for being faithful to the work of Jesus. Now let's join Dad's message, The Mind of Christ, declaring us to be like Jesus, thinking of others, serving others, and putting others first. God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so happy that you're opening your doors for us, inviting us to come in, and we're going to have a wonderful time together. We're going to be thinking about the mind of Christ. That is, what would Jesus do? And, of course, he's our great example. He's the one that we follow. And we just emulate our life to follow him. What would Jesus do? So maybe you can call a friend, tell him to tune us in, and we'll just all worship the Lord together. So we're looking at Psalm 102, where the psalmist writes, "Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee." And so, Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you're the God of the ages. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You never change. Everything around us changes. Like the hymnist said, "Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me." So we just thank you that you're always there. And so we come to worship you. And we pray that in our service today that you'll be pleased and your people will be helped and the lost will come to a saving knowledge of the Savior. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Melissa's got a song I know you like, "I'll Fly Away." So God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. A few more
Well, thank you, Melissa. And that's going to happen one of these days. The Lord will take us home. Or who knows, maybe the Lord will come and we'll raise all the dead. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And maybe that'll happen. The rapture of the church is going to happen sometime. Wouldn't it be something that would happen in our time? But either way, we'll get to see you face to face. And won't that be wonderful? Well, I want to thank all of you for writing. We have so many letters. We read every letter we get, and we pray for you. Many of you have prayer requests, and so we pray for you and think about you. And we like to share some of the letters, and so today we have some. Have one from Morganton, North Carolina. And these folks write and say, "My wife and I are writing to tell you that we enjoy your program. I was a preacher for over 40 years, but my wife has been unable to walk for over a year now due to an emergency hip operation. We've been unable to go to church for over a year due to my wife's failing health. We request your prayers for my wife's health to return." And I'm always so happy when I hear from pastors, and we hear from a lot of pastors. And you ought to pray for your pastor and support him. And just ask God to work with him and through him and give him strength and just love him and stand by him. That's the best thing you can do. But you just, and be sure you go to church. Go to a church where they're preaching the Bible. Just check that out right away. And if they're using something else or not preaching the word, find a place where they preach the Bible and you'll grow in grace. And then don't go there just to see what you can get. But go and see what you can do to help them and to stand by and make the Church of Christ stronger. So God bless the pastors and wish you. We're praying for all of you in the office. We all prayed for this dear brother and his wife. Dear Lodge, Montana, this is someone in prison. And they write, "Please put me back on your mailing list. On November 17th, 2016, I became a Christian and threw away all of my Wiccan materials. I'd like to receive your new song each month. I watch your Christian Worship Hour show at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. I'm back in locked housing, and watching your show is my church time. Thank you for your time and your service." And so don't we just rejoice that here's a man, and he's been in this worshiping the devil in devil worship, and he's thrown it away. And that's what Paul talked about the Thessalonians. He says, "Ye turn from idols to God," and so you turn your back on the devil, and anything that isn't true to the Word of God, have no part of it, and just keep your eyes on Jesus. And here's a man in prison, so now he knows the Lord, and so he can be a missionary. And he can talk to those in the prison with him. And St. Paul was in prison, you know, and he witnessed to the jailer and everybody else, and some of them were saved. Who knows what God will do? You just witness for the Lord and leave it with Jesus. Let's see, Cadillac, Missouri. "Thank you so much for the Christian Worship Hour. I had drifted away from my precious Heavenly Father. Now, thanks to you and prayer, I'm back in full force." Well, you know, it's easy to drift. You don't realize it sometimes, and it just starts ever so easy, and then it gets a little more and a little more, and pretty soon we don't have that fellowship. We don't have that joyous salvation. And then the Holy Spirit talks to us. He takes the Word of God, and He calls us and talks to our hearts. And when we listen to Him, you can always come back. And I got a letter not long ago, and they said, "How many times can you come back to Jesus if you drift away?" And I said something like, well, maybe you could try 5,000 times. Because you know what God says? He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And He says, "Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." And if you drift and you fall, you get up and you go to Jesus. And like we're told in 1 John 1:9, If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there is no limit with God, and he'll forgive you no matter what until you come to death. But once you pass that door of death, there's no change. For after death, the judgment, we're in heaven or we're in hell. So if you're going to come to Jesus, you drift away. You come now. Come while you can. And I suspect that there's some the Lord's talking to right now. Holy Spirit's saying, I need to come back to Jesus. I don't have the joy that I had walking with the Lord. I'm not serving him the way I should. I'm living a life that I know isn't pleasing to him. I'm coming back. And you pray right now. Do it. Just pray it right now. Tell Jesus about your sins. Ask him to forgive you. Then write and let us know. We'll send you some literature. Well, let's see. Minneapolis, Minnesota. I enjoy your service every Sunday morning. I do not call it a show, as I get a blessing from it. God bless you all. Well, you know, we get letters, and sometimes it's a show, and sometimes it's a movie, and sometimes it's a production, and sometimes it's a service, and God knows what it is. We really don't care what you call it, just as long as you listen to it. And because when you listen to this service, you're going to hear the word of God, and God's going to talk to you. And maybe you're a good Christian, you're a strong Christian, but God wants you to do something special for him. He'll lay something on your heart. And God is, he's an active God, and he's a living God. And day by day, things change. So he's using us to meet the different things that we run across or he brings across our path. So just walk with the Lord, love the Lord, and listen to his spirit. Let me see. Lebanon, Missouri. And this person writes, God continues to bless each and everyone involved in your work. You continue to help a person to have a reason to continue to live. My health and family have seemed to let me down. And that's why I love to preach, because there's hope. I don't care who you are, and I don't care what you've done. There's hope. You can come back to Jesus, and he'll love you, and he'll forgive you, and he'll help you. And I know I get letters, and they'll say, well, I don't see how God could ever forgive me. And I had one lady, and she told me one time, if I ever came back to Jesus and if I was baptized, the water would turn black. She had a hard life, a wicked life. But the Lord says that he'll reach any depth. Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners, and God saved me. So if he can save our chief, he can save all the rest of us. There isn't anyone beyond the grace of God. And as long as you're in this life, you can come back. So just come and just try it and see. Here's Colorado Springs, Colorado. Please send my brother the new song. Excuse me. He has asked Jesus into his heart. He is in hospice, and I want him to have the new song, Sincerely with Love. Now, the new song is a little Bible study that we have every month. And we are written to him, but we've sent some special material for him because he's asked Jesus into his heart. And now we give him some material to help him how to pray and to give everything to Jesus and to lean on Jesus and to read the Bible. I love to read the Psalms, the Proverbs. Especially I love the Gospel of John. If you're just starting to read the Bible, read the Gospel of John. It's just that the whole book is wonderful. The Bible's wonderful, but it just seems like John speaks to me in some special way. And so here's a man, he's on hospice. But he's made his peace with God. And when his time comes, the Lord will come. And I'll tell you how it'll happen. Jesus will come. The good shepherd will come for his sheep. And he'll take you and he'll walk with you. David told us all about it, didn't he? In the 23rd Psalm, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. David is saying, I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of dying. And he tells us why. Because thou art with me. Now, David didn't know Jesus like we do because Jesus hadn't been born of the virgin yet. But when Jesus came in John chapter 6, he said, I'm the good shepherd. So we can say, Jesus is my shepherd. And he'll walk with me through life, and he'll walk with me through death, and I don't have a thing to fear. And sometimes people say, well, the valley of the shadow of death, I wonder how long that is, and I wonder how if it's dark. And I had one man said he had a vision, and he said it was real quiet in the valley of the shadow of death. Do you know how long the valley of the shadow of death is? Zip. That's it. That's all it is. Because what the valley of the shadow of death means, the moment we die, the next breath we're with the Lord. And you've passed through that valley before you ever knew it. The valley of the shadow of death isn't miles long. It's just one breath away. And the Lord is with you in that. So, oh, isn't it wonderful? Isn't the gospel wonderful? There's so much hope and help. And you can't get it at a supermarket or someplace else. There's only one place to get it. That's the holy book of the holy God, the Bible. Let's see. Now, here's another one from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Well, that's good. And maybe it's the same letter. We'll see. Many times I know how unworthy I am to be able to go to heaven. But I try to remember it. Now, here's the point. He says, many times I know how unworthy I am to be able to go to heaven, but I try to remember it's not how we feel. It's because of our Savior's loving blood and resurrection. Your sermons, because of the Holy Spirit, have helped me time and time again. And I don't know how many times I need to tell you, don't go by feelings. You may have feelings and you may not. And then you may be feeling, this is what happens to me. One day I'm just as happy as I can be. Oh boy, you can't believe it. The next day I'm lower than a snake's belt buckle. And if I'm going by feelings, I'm going to be up and down. I'm going to be a nervous wreck. And so when you come to Jesus, it's a contract. It's a covenant. And Jesus says, if you ask me into your heart and to take away your sins, I will come in. I stand at the door and knock. I will come in. If you open the door, I will come in. It's a transaction. And you may have joy and you may not. You may get goose pimples, you may not. It's just simply, I take Jesus and I believe his word. And I'm going to tell you the verse that helped me the most. And for years, people say, what's your favorite verse? And I just quote whatever came to my mind. But in my old age now, I'll tell you my favorite verse, John 5:24. Where Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, right now, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, that is, won't go into hell, but you're passed from death unto life. John 5:24. And so just maybe you'll have feelings, and maybe you'll have peace and joy, and maybe you won't. Just trust Jesus. One more letter. Gackle, North Dakota. I enjoy your program on Sundays when I don't make it to my church. I'm 87 years old and have to drive a 40-mile drive to church. My wife died 16 years ago, so I'm alone, but God is with me. You make the Bible so easy to understand. God bless you all. So here's a dear brother, and his wife has gone to be with Jesus 16 years ago, and I know what that's like. Beulah's been gone 12 years. But the joy of the Lord is in your heart. There's just a peace, and you just trust Jesus. You're going to be together again, see them again. Well, if you'd like to write to us, we'd like to hear from you. And you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I might just say that we need your help to carry on this work. If you think this is something God is using, ask him. Just say, dear Lord, now should I support this work? Should I help them in this ministry? And then the Lord will say, no, give it to another one. And there's some other good ministries. We're not the only one. And maybe the Lord will say no. Maybe he says yes. And then you say, well, how much shall I give? And then you say, that much? But I don't know what you'll say. Now, I don't know what God will say. But I know this. If he wants this service to continue, he'll supply the needs, and there'll be no problems about it. And if you want to send us, you know, anywhere in the world, you can send us a gift. We got a gift from the Philippine Islands not long ago. And you just get ChristianWorshipHour.com. And there's a place on there that says donate. And then you just mark that down. And then you can send it and you put your currency. We'll get an American currency. We'll pay our bills and go on our way rejoicing. So I hope you'll write. And also, you can ask for the new song. The new song is just a little bit of a little paper, a little Bible study every month. And I know that you'll like it. This month, it's entitled The Joy of the Lord. And it's a wonderful study, and it'll get help. A lot of people use it for Sunday school classes and use it for private devotions. You write to us, Christian Worship Hour. We got it on the screen. And those on the internet and those on shortwave radio, you can just get us by the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And one other thing I want to mention. We are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and that means that they check every penny we take in and they check every penny we spend. They're just like a pest. They're all over the place. But when they're done, we're as clean as a hound's tooth. And when you send a gift, it'll be used for the preaching of the gospel and the spreading of the gospel, and you don't need to worry about it. So we'll be looking for your letter. So I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And then you just give as God lays on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for those over the years now, going over almost 40 years, and all who've been so faithful in carrying on this work. Thank you for those who give today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Appreciate your ministry of music. We're reading from Philippians chapter 2, and I know some of you have your Bibles. Some of you get all dressed up and like you're going to church, and you have your Bibles and everything. Some of you tell me that you have coffee and you're eating while you're watching. And the ones that bother me the most is the ones that sit in an easy chair, because I can't see you, but something tells me you're long gone. But anyway, just so you're there, we'll have a good time together. Philippians chapter 2, and beginning with the fifth verse, and Paul is writing, and he's going to talk about the mind of Christ, being like Jesus. And so we'll read the scripture. And then in our prayer today, we always pray for the persecuted church. And we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. And I think about them because I know that our services go into Afghanistan. And maybe some of them are worshiping with us. And I just want them to know that they encourage us to no end, that they challenge us. When we see how they stand for the Lord, it makes us stronger. And we pray for them, and we love them, and we're going to see them in heaven. And when we see them, they'll be wearing a martyr's crown. And in the good old USA, there ain't many martyrs running around in the USA. We got it pretty easy. But in some places, a lot of you are wearing that martyr's crown. God bless you. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise God for Jesus. And someday every sinner in the world is going to bow and to bow that knee, but it'll be way too late because they're going to spend a Christless eternity, but they're going to bend that knee and bow that head and confess Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but it'll be too late, too late. So now is the time to come. You could come right during this service. Just make that sinner's prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my heart, I pray. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage that Paul gives us about the mind of Christ. And dear Lord, we do want to be like you. We want to use you as our example. And while we fall so short, yet we can strive toward perfection. And we're never going to really reach it in this life, but we can work toward that and try every way we can to honor you and to do what you would do. In every decision we make, what would Jesus do? And dear Lord, by your wonderful Holy Spirit, you'll tell us what you would do. You'll give us wisdom. Maybe you're not until we're right against it, right run up against it. And then your wonderful Holy Spirit will tell us. He'll give us guidance and direction as we lean on him. And so we just pray that we'll all of us be more like Jesus. And then we pray for our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan and help them to know that we are mindful of them and that we love them and that we pray for them and that their example does strengthen us and it makes us want to be better Christians. It helps us to live the Christian life. And so our hearts just go out to them. And we know that, dear Lord, we know that when they come to the end of life, you are there so close that they haven't a thing to fear but just to lean on Jesus and to lean in the arms of Jesus and you'll take them home. So bless them. And I think of those that are left behind, especially the children. Oh, dear God, we know that you love the children. And I know that you're going to take care of them. They're going to watch over them. And someday we'll see why all these things happened and we'll know that you were always there and you always cared. So bless us in this service now, dear Lord. May everything we do and say honor the Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. And before the message, Barb's going to sing, He didn't throw the clay away. And God bless you, Barb.
Empty and broken, I came back to him, a vessel unworthy, so scarred with sin, and he did not despair. He started into his likeness. vessel breaks, He just picks up the pieces. He doesn't throw the clay away.
Thank you, Barb. And that's sure the story. That's grace, the grace of God. And He didn't throw the clay away. And when I failed the Lord, He didn't throw the clay away. He took me back. And I think of Peter when he denied Jesus and swore he didn't know Him and abandoned Him and left. And I wonder if Peter didn't say to his heart, "Oh, I blew it. He's done with me now. He'll never look at me again." But Jesus looked for him. He went to Galilee and found Peter and recommissioned him, and Peter served him till he died. And maybe you feel like clay that's thrown away. You've ruined your, you've drifted away from the Lord, and you have some terrible sins. But if you come to Jesus, He'll take that clay and He'll make something beautiful out of it. Something beautiful. Only God can do that. Well, we're going to look at this beautiful passage here about Peter, about Paul, when he talks about the mind of Christ. And we think of that because we, all of us, want to be like Jesus. When somebody accepts the Lord, and I've seen it so many times, when people accept Jesus, right away they'll say, "Now, what does He want me to do? And is it all right to do this? Is it all right to do that?" Right away, they want to please Jesus. They take Jesus as their model. Now, we have to be careful. Don't take a human being as a model, because every one of us have feet of clay, and we can fail terribly. And so when you look to Jesus, He'll never fail you. And I'm going to tell you something about Jesus. I accepted the Lord 85 years ago, and the closer you get to Jesus, the more flaws you'll see in your own life. When you study about His life, He says, "I'm not like that, and I've got to work on that, and I've got to strive for that." And another thing about Jesus, you know, there's some people that, oh, you're so excited to know them, but after you get to know them, you just kind of like to, well, you like to loan them money, and that way they leave and you never see them again. You just don't need them around. But Jesus is just the opposite. Instead of when you get to see Him as seeing, there are no flaws and there are no failures, He's more beautiful. The more you see Him and the closer you get to Him, the more beautiful He is. And so that's what Paul's telling us. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So he says, pattern yourself after the mind of Christ. So let's look at the mind of Christ. The first thing we can see, and it really stands out, is in the mind of Christ, He always thought of other people. He wasn't thinking about Himself. He was thinking about others. In the second chapter, in verses 3 and 4, God tells us, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." And then he says, "Look not every man on his own things, but on the things of others." That it'd be so self-centered that all we do is take these I see them taking these selfie pictures. Well, if you got a fake like I got, you're not taking any selfie pictures of my, you never see me taking a picture of myself. I have to shave in the morning. That's good enough for me. I get all I need, all of myself. We have to be careful, though, because we think of ourselves so many of the times. And Jesus was just the opposite, and he thought about others. It could be translated. One translation has those verses to read, "Don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others, too, and in what they're doing. Others, that's the mind of Christ, to think of others, to serve others. And oh, how this poor world needs people to think of others." We get letters all of the time of people that are lonely. Maybe their family's forsaken them. Maybe they've had a falling out with their spouse or something, or with their children. The sorrow that they have and the loneliness they have, and they need a friend, and they need somebody to talk to and to pray for them. And that's what Jesus did. You see, in the scriptures, we're told about Jesus. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus lived for others. Jesus died for others. The subject of the Father's will was for others. Jesus was never self-centered or self-willed. He was always thinking about others and helping others. When we put others first, we'll find joy and we'll have satisfaction, because there isn't anything better than to find somebody that's having a struggle and you can go alongside of them. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Comforter comes and he stands alongside of us and he helps us and he encourages us. And that's what we need to do in the flesh, to talk to those people and to commiserate with them and to listen to their story and to pray for them and to encourage them or tell them of some scripture. Or, you know, maybe you've gone through some trial in your own life and you can tell them how Jesus helped you. And so just think about other people and love these people. And so Jesus points out and he says, he humbled himself. He took himself on himself the form of a man. And people are just the opposite of that. Jesus points the way. And so when he comes, he gives himself and the only reason he's born of the Virgin, only reason he has that incarnation is so he can have a human body, be in the flesh. And so Jesus, he's God and he's God and he's human. And he's a human being just like we are, except without sin. And when we get to heaven, Jesus Christ will still have that resurrected body, the one that he had, the one that he lived in when he was on earth. And why did he do it? He did it because he wanted to help us. He wanted to be one of us. And in order to die for us, he couldn't die. God can't die. And so as a human being in the flesh, Jesus can die as a human being, but he can't die as God. And so in the flesh, he goes to the cross and he suffers all the sins of the world. And you read about how he's in the Garden of Gethsemane as he thinks about the cross. And I remember I used to be a child and I would think, oh, the crucifixion would be so terrible. And no wonder Jesus sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, because, oh, to be nailed to a cross, I just can't imagine how terrible that would be. But, you know, I read about Christians, martyrs, who gladly went to the cross, who went to the stake and were burned at the stake, who gladly died for Jesus, who were cast to the wild animals in the Colosseum in Rome and were torn to pieces by starving animals. They did it gladly, singing praises to God. It wasn't that Jesus was afraid of the cross. That isn't why he sweated words, great drops of blood. He sweat the blood because he's taking into that sinless, pure body of his all the sins of the world for all time. Can you imagine it? That we see sins, but we see injustice and we don't like it and it bothers us. But we're poor old sinners and unrighteous, no, not one. Jesus had no sin. He was sinless. And with all the sins of the world, no wonder it was he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And afterward, angels came to minister to him. God bless the Savior. And so Jesus is, he's come to help us. And so we have that tendency to think more highly than we ought to think of ourselves. We think that, well, we can sing better, or we can play better, or we can make more money than somebody else, or we're a better athlete, or God knows what, it could be 100 different things, and we become proud. And God tells us that pride cometh, goeth before a fall. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. But they're so easy to be proud, and we can just be proud of anything, any stupid little thing, we can be proud. And Jesus is telling us we must always be humble. And he tells us that we're to be thinking about other people and helping other people. And then in the New Testament, excuse me, over 20 different places, 20 different times, God tells us how we are to act toward other people, toward other Christians. He says, for instance, in Romans 12, verse 10, prefer one another. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, edify one another. Galatians 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens. Romans 14, 13, for we should not judge one another. In Romans 15, verse 14, instead we are to admonish one another, encourage others, and help them along. And so think of the mind of Christ, we think about others. I read the story of a man, a blind man, and he was feeling his way along a deserted, dimly lighted street with one hand. And he held a cane, and he then stumbled along the wall with that white cane. And the other one, he had a lit lantern at night. And another man approaching him from the other way came and kind of sarcastically said, he sees this blind man walking with a lantern. And he's made a little bit of fun of him. He says, why are you carrying a lantern? He says, you can't see anything anyway. And the blind man said, I'm not carrying it for myself. I'm carrying it so somebody won't stumble over me. And that's how we need to live. We need to have the mind of Christ. We think of others. And then if we have the mind of Christ, we also serve. We want to serve. That's what Jesus did. In the 7th verse, Jesus said, he made himself of no reputation, took upon the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. We have to do more than just think about others. We have to help others. We have to get down in the gutter with them. We have to get down where they are and put our arm around them and help them up and then commiserate with them and pray with them and encourage them. We need to serve others about us. And Paul talks about Jesus, and he talks about him in the verses 6 and 7. He says that, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And he laid aside his power and might. He was dependent upon the Father in heaven. He emptied himself. Jesus didn't talk about serving other people, but he came and actually did that service. He became a human being. And you know, Jesus Christ, he became in the flesh. He's born of Mary. So here he is, God-man. And he's going to have that body. When we get to heaven, we're going to see that body. We can see the marks in his hands, in his feet, in his side. That same body that he carried in this world, he's going to have in heaven. And like the writer of Hebrews says, there is a man in heaven. There's a man, Christ Jesus. And he's at the right hand of the throne of God. And he's interceding for us because he knows all about us. He was one of us. And he knows that when you are hurt, he knows how you hurt. When you lose a loved one, when you're sick, or when you're lonely, or when you're discouraged, he knows all about it. Jesus was there a long time before you got there, before I got there, see? And that's the beautiful thing about Jesus. And he used that body to become a servant. That's why he took that body. And he couldn't be a servant. He couldn't be one of us unless he became one of us literally and in the flesh. And that's what he did. Jesus never pretended to be a servant. He was a servant. And he demonstrated in the washing of the feet of his disciples and how that there they are. And they had been arguing among themselves, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus, the King, comes and washes their feet. I'm going to tell you, friends, if we want to be like Jesus, we need to serve and to help other people. And then the one who wants the mind of Christ has to be willing to sacrifice. Jesus always talked about take up your cross and follow me, didn't he? Didn't he say deny yourself and follow me? And oh, I think of the church that's being martyred, the persecuted church. And I've said it so many times, if I was a young man, I think I would go and I would work with those people and I'd help the children. The persecuted church, America, we don't know anything about it, but our wonderful service, we're ministering to people that are in the persecuted church all over the world. We're in North Korea. The worst place, they say, the hardest place in the world to be a Christian, the most persecution comes in North Korea. And our ministries there on shortwave radio have a strong signal in that country. And so we're praying for those dear people. And we don't know what it is to sacrifice it. But Jesus tells us in verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And I read something not just long ago about this wonderful Jesus. He went to the cross to pay for our sins. And you know what the Hebrew says? It says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus counted it a joy to sacrifice himself for us. And who were we? His enemies and rebels and those who took his name in vain and had no time for him. And we see them all the time living that way. And this wonderful Savior, Jesus, comes and dies to pay for their sins. So we have to learn that we need to sacrifice ourselves. We need to give ourselves and don't hold back. And never complain when we have to. We really don't have it that hard in America. We don't know what suffering is. But the persecuted church knows, and they joyfully do it. And they're so happy when they have their loved one and a loved one is taken, and they're so happy that he stood true or she stood true and didn't deny the Lord. Oh, my friends, we just need to be very careful that we're walking with the Lord, serving the Lord. And in this walk with the Lord, we need to give all that we have, everything we have. And the more we give, the more we receive. And the more we're sacrificed for Christ, the more he'll bless us. And we can, and I know young people, you in school, to witness for the Lord, they make fun of you and they'll laugh at you. And you just stand true to the Lord just the same. Maybe you carry your Bible to school one day and see. I don't know if they'd let you carry your Bible anymore. When I went to school, we could carry a Bible with us. And to let them know that we were a Christian. So we need to sacrifice for the Lord. But it doesn't, as I say, doesn't cost in the United States. It's in other parts of the world. In 2016, more Christians died for Christ. More Christians died for Jesus than any time on record. World Watch List tells us of that the five most severe countries for persecution of Christians are North Korea, Somalia, Afghanistan, we prayed for them today, Pakistan, we're going to pray for them next week, and Sudan. And I know that they're in those persecuted church. We want them to know that we love them and care for them and stand for them. And then finally, we have the mind of Christ. We glorify God. We bring glory to God. The supreme goal in our life is not to make money, or not to have great power, or not to be so popular and all of that, to be seen of men, but to glorify God. In Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble and think of other people. At Philippi, we all knew about the people there and how that they had to stand for the Lord and how that it cost them a great deal to do it. But they did it, and they did it truly. In the 11th verse of this second chapter, we are told that the whole purpose of Christ's humiliation was the glory of God. And so he did it that the tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that's what we do. We say, "Dear Lord, I don't know what you want to come into my life. I don't know what you want me to face, but I know one thing. I love you, and I want to be like Jesus, and I want to live for him. If it costs me some people put me out of their company, if they turn their backs on me, if they make fun of me, if they call me square, if they call me old-fashioned, let them talk. I am so glad that I can stand up for you." And always remember, dear friends, what Paul writes about in Romans 8, verse 18. This is what he tells us. "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." We can be glorifying God when we love him and serve him, and no matter what comes our way, we put Christ first and we go on record for him. And we get letters from people all of the time that they're being put out of they're cut out of some of the companies. They're not accepted in some places because they're making a stand for the Lord. But when we make that stand, we bring glory to his name. And when we come to die, it isn't that how much money do we have? How much land do we have? How many deeds do we carry? It doesn't matter if our names are written in the lights and the whole world knows who we are. Nothing matters. Nothing counts. I talked to a man in hospice within the last 2 weeks. And he said, "You know, I've got money, but it doesn't mean a thing to me. Nothing matters but Jesus, just Jesus." And so let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, you can't do that unless you have him in your heart. And he'll never be in your heart unless you ask him there. And you need to pray in your own words and say, "Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll forsake them, and I'll serve you the best I can." And then you thank him. Just use your own words. I had a man not too long ago, and he prayed. And I don't know if he'd ever prayed before, but in his own words, he just asked Jesus to forgive him. And he said something that I was a little surprised. He says, "The sins of omission and commission, the things he should have done that he didn't do." And he was asking, and he asked Jesus to forgive him and come into his heart. And then when he died, the Holy Spirit took him home. But he prayed and said, "Goodbye," when he's done praying. I hope you'll pray that. Now, if you do, you write to us. We'll send you literature. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002-2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you can send a gift, we need it, because James says, "You have not because you ask not." And if we never tell you we have a need, you probably figure we got plenty. Well, we're just like the dentist. We work, we live from hand to mouth. That's all we are. And you help us, and we pay our bills, and the next month the same thing happens. So you just make a matter of prayer. And again, I'm going to give it for those on shortwave. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002-2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. God bless you. Now we're going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've had together. Thank you for all the people that have opened their doors. And all around the world, we gathered around the throne of grace and we worshiped you. And we believe that there are multitudes that have made that prayer and are praying right now, asking you to come into their heart and take away their sin and make them your child. And we pray for the shut-ins, and we pray for the aged, and we pray for those in hospice. We pray for the young people that are struggling on what decision to make in life. There are so many needs, and dear Jesus, you have the answer to all of our needs. Help us to get our eyes on you, turn on you. Just pray, Lord, that you'll bring us to the feet of Jesus and that we'll live for him, rejoicing, moving along through life. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So there it is. It's on the screen now. You write to us. Need to hear from you. And we'll pray for you this week, and you pray for us. And if the Lord doesn't come again, Lord willing, we'll gather around the throne of grace next week. And we're going to be thinking about the Lamb of God. Oh, you're going to love that, the Passover Lamb of God. Tell your friends. And we'll think about the wonderful Savior who shed his blood to pay for the sins of the world, the wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And he loves you, and we love you. And you just stand at your post. Stand true, stand firm, never give up, because Jesus is with you and he'll see you through. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone, in Jesus' name.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.